Hello from the newsroom of the Financial Times in London. I'm Josh Noble, and this is News in Focus, where we offer our insights into the global news stories that matter. Twitter chief Jack Dorsey has been hailed by Silicon Valley acolytes for his personal fitness regime, but others question whether he really merits the role of a wellness guru. Horatia Harrod discusses whether the Dorsey regime is worth emulating and what might be motivating his ascetic lifestyle with Joe Ellison.
So obviously for most of the people listening, Jack Dorsey doesn't really need much of an introduction because he co-founded Twitter and the mobile payments company Square. But why were you writing about him, Joe, in your recent column?
I was writing about Jack Dorsey on the basis of the fact that he's been hailed as a super influencer by his Silicon Valley tribe of acolytes. And there was a big profile, I think, in the New York Times, but also kind of increasingly on other platforms, sort of hailing his wellness regimen and also talking about the fact that he has become, you know, this character who has the same sort of power and influence as a Gwyneth Paltrow, who we all know founded the wellness empire Goop. So I thought he was an interesting person to look at because it just struck me that a lot of his advice seemed quite extreme. And I thought it was interesting that if you were looking at it on the basis of gender, a man who comes up with a 10-point plan that includes extreme fasting and, you know, depriving yourself of a lot of things should be seen as a kind of heroic, manly endeavour of self-discovery. But if it was a woman, she'd be just discussed as kind of bats.
I mean, you know that well, don't you? Because when you interviewed Gwyneth Paltrow for lunch with the FT earlier this year, you know, you got a few comments accusing her of being a sort of snake oil saleswoman, very different sort of response to her wellness tips and the stuff she puts on Goop.
I mean, I think generally anything where a woman is advocating healthy practice or some sort of dietary tip, or, you know, as someone who works in fashion, where I think beauty and style are very much sort of wrapped up in the same topic, there's a real hostility towards a lot of people advocating an extreme lifestyle plan. And Gwyneth got a huge amount of very, very, very hostile commentary under the lunch that I did. And they really, really resented her advocating anything, really, actually. They just thought she was crackers. And also the other thing which I thought was quite interesting is, like, as an actress, what does she know about this? She doesn't have the right. Whereas Jack Dorsey, who is, to all intents and purposes, a tech entrepreneur, knows less than nothing also. But for some reason, when he tells everybody he gets up at 5 a.m. and jumps into a freezing cold bath, it seems perfectly acceptable. And it's just that sort of weird guru status that certain men seem to have without any founding qualification whatsoever.
And it seems to be, especially the dudes of Silicon Valley, they get away with quite a lot of what, in if it were more of a female lifestyle-y context, would be seen as either very silly and frivolous or poorly informed.
There seems to be, like, people are enthralled to men with money and power. And I think that can just tip into a much broader kind of adulation where it doesn't seem to matter what they do. I mean, like, if he suddenly started playing football, he'd probably be a brilliant footballer. It's a kind of seduction. I mean, they're real fanboys. I mean, I know the West Coast of America is obviously where faddy diets sort of began. And there's a long, long, decades-long history of slightly weird, mystical, kind of quasi-religious sort of practice goes on. But I think that particularly now, these tech gurus that have emerged, or these tech leaders that have emerged, are increasingly focused on how to make you a better person rather than they're about how to make... I mean, I'm much more interested in, like, learning how to make loads of money, because that seems to be what he's actually very good at.
Yeah, I'd want his advice on what new up-and-coming tech company would you invest in.
Bitcoin or something.
Yeah, not about the virtues of journaling, which, you know, as a 14-year-old, that's one of his 11 wellness tips.
Or infrared saunas and why you should put an infrared bulb at your desk. I mean, it's all such hokum as well. I mean, some of these things have got a modicum of medical evidence to support them in their favour, but lots of them are completely groundless. I mean, I have no idea whether there's any academic study that suggests that drinking salt juice, as he calls it, which is, I think, lemon, Himalayan salt and water, which he distributes in his Twitter offices globally, will do any good at all or just make you vomit. But the idea that someone could implement this in their offices and everyone think this is a great idea and not just say, you're crackers, it just seems like typical of the gender bias we have. But people always think I'm being kind of a rabid feminist about these things. But I really feel as though people are inherently quite naive. And the other thing about Jack Dorsey's regimen, which I think for me was particularly poignant, is that in reading about it, the first thing that I thought when I was reading through the specifics of what he does, his 7-minute high intensity workouts, his 5-mile walk to work that takes him an hour and a half, his freezing cold bath, they're all very self-controlled and quite punishing behaviours, especially the fasting, which he does from Friday until Sunday. I thought this actually was very reminiscent of the sort of schedule you might read of an anorexic who was in care, like a young girl. And if she was exhibiting all these behaviours, you'd be genuinely quite concerned about her. Or you'd certainly think she was, or he was, putting too much pressure on themselves. And that was the other thing that just struck me, is that he's got anorexia or he's got an eating disorder. This is not healthy.
And yet, weirdly, certainly from the New York Times piece, anecdotally, it seems that all of the things that he's recommending, the infrared saunas, the Oura sleep tracker, which Prince Harry also wears, supposedly sales have skyrocketed since he mentioned them. So it seems like people really, really buy it.
I think people just have a very different attitude in terms of influence. I mean, Gwyneth Paltrow can also shift, you know, she shifted quartz eggs, which I think they were sexual healing eggs or something. She did get sued and had to pay a fine for claiming so. But subsequently, the sales of it still continue to rise. So she similarly has the power to create a bit of voodoo around a product with really, really sort of dubious values. But I think there's something about that very powerful male leader who does the TED Talk. They take on this almost like Rasputin-like reputation. I mean, I think historically there have been people who have held those kind of positions. I just think it's interesting that the most recent incarnation is this 42-year-old tech entrepreneur. And the other thing that we noticed today is that I think as of last year, he had a 23-year-old girlfriend who was a Sports Illustrated model. And actually, when you think about it like that, he's just a guy having a kind of crashing midlife crisis.
That was the conclusion we did alight upon.
The dramatic weight loss, the kind of obsession with physical appearance. It's like, the long kind of beard that disguises bits of your face. I just thought, hang on, this isn't about wellness. It's just about wanting to look smoking hot next to your much, much younger, more attractive girlfriend.
But there was also another point that I think you made in your column, which was that, you know, he doesn't look... And this is going to sound very sort of COD psychology, just doesn't look very happy. But it's interesting. Do you think there's a kind of element of an incredibly wealthy, successful entrepreneur kind of doing penance for either being successful or particularly being successful with Twitter, because it's become obviously a platform that's so controversial and people talk about him as basically making a fortune from helping to propagate hate speech or allowing hate speech to ferment on his platform?
I think if I was looking at him as a COD psychologist, which is what we all like to do and sort of try and analyse what's going on, he does look to me like a person who is slightly enveloped in a kind of shame about his person. You know, he looks almost unrecognisable. He wears clothes that swallow him. He has this huge curtain of hair across most of his face and wears a beanie hat. And he does look sort of haunted. He certainly doesn't look like a guy living his best life. And I'd like to think that some of that is possibly a physical manifestation of his unease around the thing that he's created. And I think, you know, social media and Twitter and Facebook have had this extraordinary ride of late where they're being, you know, they're being held up. Jack Dorsey and his like are being held up for a lot of the world's ills. And I think his strange retreat into this quasi-religious, slightly remote, isolated status, it just doesn't reflect a very healthy mindset to me. I think he seems a bit like a man in retreat.
Yeah.
That was Horatia Harrod talking to FT fashion editor Joe Ellison. Thanks for listening. Don't forget, if you missed our recent episodes on the WhatsApp spyware hack, the US-China trade war, or Carlos Ghosn's Lebanon connections, you can find them all on the usual podcast platforms.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has experienced teams who can craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex. Real wealth requires real solutions. Connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Thank you.
Did you know the Capital Ideas podcast now has a new monthly edition hosted by Capital Group CEO Mike Gitlin? Through the words and experiences of investment professionals, you'll discover who was their best mentor, what's a mistake they made that changed their approach, and how do they find their next great idea? Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Published by American Funds Distributors, Inc.